The question today is, what is the Lord's Prayer? Most people who think the Lord's Prayer is what's being placed on the wall and hung up and framed and things and printed, and really what they print is Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9 through verse number 13, and it says this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then also this similar prayer is mentioned as Jesus spoke it in Luke chapter number 11. And he says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He didn't go on and finish like he did in Matthew 6 as he said that. But yet, men call this the Lord's Prayer. But this is not the Lord's Prayer, because this is not a prayer he prayed, because he spoke of debts, which he labeled in Luke as being sin, and Jesus had no sin. Forgive us our sin. The Lord never had to pray that because he was the sinless Son of God. But yet, if you look at the context where this is given, it says this. It said here, as Jesus taught here in Matthew chapter, what we call the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 9 of Matthew 6, after this manner, therefore pray ye. After this manner, therefore pray you. In other words, this is what he's teaching his disciples to pray. And in Luke chapter 11, it came to pass, verse 1, that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, and then he began to quote this. So you see, this is not the Lord's Prayer. You've heard it said, someone said, let's say the Lord's Prayer, and they'll quote this, Our Father which art in heaven, and so forth. But it's not the Lord's Prayer. That is the prayer that he taught us to pray. We should label this the model prayer. The model prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. It involved giving glory to God. It involved confession, confessing of your sins. It involved asking God for daily provisions. It involved thanksgiving and involved calling the first thing right off the bat, Thy kingdom come. We're praying for the Lord Jesus to come back again, which he says in Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. The grace of God will teach us to look for the blessed hope. And so as Thy kingdom come, he's taught us to pray for the Lord to come back again one day, not to get us out of a mess, but to come back because we'll see him who's our bridegroom, if you please. Well, the thing about it, he said he also taught us to pray in such a way that we'd ask for leadership to keep us out of temptation. We're going to all be tempted. Every man is tempted, but lead us not into temptation. And he gave God glory all the way around. That's the model prayer in which God, the Lord Jesus, taught us to pray after this manner. It'll like this. Didn't say use these same words. It's all right too. But this is what he taught us to pray. So therefore, that next time you see that hanging on the wall, it says the Lord's Prayer, and it talks about forgive us our debts or forgive us our sins. Jesus had no sin, so it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the model prayer. Now, Jesus did pray a prayer that, he prayed many times, but there's one recorded that he prayed, and this is really, should be labeled the Lord's Prayer, and this is really in John chapter 17, where it's the prayer of intercession. After Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper, and of course that was after Judas Iscariot had left out to betray him in that Last Supper, and he instituted the Lord's Supper to the 11 disciples that were saved, not Judas Iscariot. Then he began to wander out through the streets and begin to instruct them of John 14, John 15, and John 16, heading toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the way, or in there somewhere along that way, Jesus stopped and he prayed, or at least he prayed. I don't know exactly when this was prayed, whether it was in the garden or whether it was close to the brook Kidron or whether it was just as he walked and sauntered along as he prayed and lifted up his his eyes to heaven and his hands to heaven, and he prayed John chapter 17, the great intercessory prayer. And he said, he prayed for himself to be glorified. He said in verse 1 of John 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So he prayed for himself. In his prayer, he also stated that he had finished the work, verse number 4, that thou gavest me to do. I've done what you sent me to do. Even though it was not yet done, the Lord can say it's done before it's done, because it's as good as going to happen. He did not say it is finished on the cross of Calvary until he had paid our sin debt there. But here he said, I finished the work you sent me to do. And he had his face set like a flint. He was going to the cross, even though Peter had tried to stop him by saying, we're not going to let you go. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. In other words, you're casting a stumbling block and in front of me, and I'm not going to let that happen. He was not offended in that, but he tried to cast a stumbling block, but he wasn't going to let that happen, because that's what he came for. So he said, I finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And then, of course, he prayed for those that were with him. As he prayed for them, I prayed for them. In other words, in verse number 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. At that point, he's praying for those that were with him. Those that were with him were the 11 apostles, Judas Iscariot, not included, because he had gone to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then he prayed in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. You see, when God saves you, he saves you to be a light in this world. and he's praying for these 11 that they might have victory, that they might have a victory. And, of course, it doesn't say evil one, but one's implied there in verse number 15. But that's the devil. He's praying that God the Father would keep the saints of God from the devil. Now, he's talking about the 11 in context, but there's an application for all saints of God, if you please. But then he also prays that they'll have that they'll be sanctified. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we'll be conformed to the image of his Son. We're predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That doesn't mean a lost man's predestined to anything, but a saved man's predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the work of sanctification. And that sanctification is defined as the walk of progression toward perfection that will be gained at the first resurrection. And here we find, as he said this, sanctify them through thy truth, verse 17. And then he said, thy word is truth. So he prayed for those 11 apostles that were with him, that God would keep them from the evil one, that he would be with them, and that he would sanctify them, that he would conform them to the image of his Son. It applies to all saints. But then he also prayed, verse number 20, and this is where we come in. Verse number 20, he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, he's praying for us there. Neither pray I just for these that's with me, these 11, but I pray for all that going to believe on me, that's going to be saved. Now, God in omniscience knew who they were, but he did not appoint some to hell and heaven, as some people claim. But he said, I pray for them that shall believe on me through their word, whose word? The apostles' word. The apostles was to preach, and as they were to preach, they were to proclaim the truth of real salvation, of the gospel, if you please, which is the power of God unto salvation. And then, of course, they were to pass it on. That's God's way through human instrumentality, is to pass it on through faithful men. You realize Paul said this to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy, Paul said, I'm passing on to you the truths of the gospel, the truth in the word, and I pray you would pass it on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I'm glad for the successive line of the truth that was proclaimed from the apostles in John 17 as Jesus prayed for them, that He prayed for them, but then he also prayed for us that we might believe on him through their word. They passed it on to faithful men who passed it on to faithful men who passed it on to faithful men. And you see, no man's going to be saved without God's lineage of that faithful word being preached from human instrumentality. Now, some people have taken that to an extreme and gotten in a ditch. They want to claim themselves to be God. And you've got to come to me and you've got to hear what I say. And whatever I tell you, it will be okay. And that's God's word. I'm in God's stead. But I don't tell you, we just need to proclaim the word and leave the rest up to God. Because salvation is of the Lord, even though he chooses to use human instrumentality. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how can they call on him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except to be sent? It's God's way for the preacher to go and to preach the word. And so he prayed for all the preachers, the apostles, to preach, to be protected, to be conformed to the image of his son, and that he himself would be glorified, and for us, that we might believe on him and be saved. How? Through the word that's proclaimed generation after generation after generation. I know Amos says there will come a famine of the hearing of the word of God. In Israel, that was true. In America, it's probably going to be true too. Closer than you know today. Two things about that famine. It may be that the word's not being preached in truth and power, and that's true. But also is that people don't have ears to hear. So there's a famine of hearing of the word of God. But thank God there's been a successive line of preachers that's gone through all the dark ages, all the time of the Reformation, even the time of the Laodicean church age, that's proclaimed the truth because it was passed on from the apostles to faithful men who passed it on to faithful men, and Jesus prayed for us in the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17 that we might believe on him through their word. And he's praying for you that you might believe on him through their word that was passed on to me and we preaching to you, and may you believe on him through the word that Jesus prayed for would be passed on to you, and then may he sanctify you, conform him to the image of his dear son because of thy word. Well, the model prayer is not the Lord's Prayer. And so whenever we see that prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just remember when you see it, that's the model prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, and that's not the Lord's Prayer. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.